10. The size of a Victory-class star destroyer, the bulk freighter Starmaster, hung above the inert Twi'lek homeworld, Ryloth. Pods of vessels surrounded it, tenders, gunboats, and shuttles, some as smooth as marine creatures, others as boxy and graceless as the freighter itself. Anchored in the umbra of the great ship floated a Ubrickian luxury yacht. Also in shadow, and closing steadily on a rectangular docking bay, moved a lunette-shaped craft launched from Ryloth's miserly zone of inhabitable twilight. In a lower deck compartment forward in the freighter, two Rhodians monitored the approaching crescent on a display screen, switching to an interior view of the docking bay as the small craft disappeared from sight. "Is that his ship?" the Twi'lek pacing behind them asked when the craft had penetrated the bay's magnetic containment field and landed. Like almost everyone else aboard the Starmaster, the trio were wearing jumpsuits inflated by large pouch pockets. "His ship," one of the Rhodians scoffed. "He has dozens of ships. Let's wait and see who disembarks." Three human males and a female appeared on the craft's extensible boarding ramp. Moving with lithe economy, the first two men might have been brothers, though the taller one's face was hideously scarred, where the other's was slim and angular. Dark-haired and willowy, the woman also moved with care, but there was a coiled wariness in her step and a vigilant gleam in her eyes. The last man out had an air of confident nonchalance. In one of inherited entitlement, the elevated chin and pocketed hands might have been perceived as arrogance, but he wore refinement well, as only one who had earned it could. In contrast to the shin-high spacer's boots and long cloaks affected by his confederates, he was dressed in silk and leather. "That's him," the other Rhodian said, indicating the latter male with the tap of a long, sucker-equipped finger against the display screen. "That's Card." The Twi'lek positioned his thick, tattooed headtails over his shoulders and leaned between the Rhodians for a closer look. "You're certain?" The one who had made the identification twitched his short snout. "If not, it's either his twin or a clone." The Twi'lek straightened. "I'll alert the boss." Hurrying through the compartment hatchway, he entered a large hold, clamorous with activity. Stacked high throughout the space were alloy shipping crates, recently ferried up Ryloth's well from Kala'un spaceport. Two-legged binary load lifters, supervised by masked Twi'lek foremen, were arranging the crates for further shipping and offloading, while utilitarian-looking ASP droids stenciled the crates with port-of-call information and applied laser-readable labels. Despite the forceful draw of overhead exhaust fans, dark motes danced and swirled in the recycled air. One hand clamped to his mouth, the Twi'lek threaded his way through the maze of stacks, arriving ultimately at a laboratory isolated from the hold by tall permaplast window walls. Inside, two humans wearing goggles, rebreathers, and environment suits were assessing the quality of a fine black powder sampled from an opened shipping crate bearing the corporate logo of Galactic Exotics, alleged to contain edible fungi. The stockier of the pair removed his mask and goggles to reveal bulging eyes and an otherwise bland face. "He just arrived," the Twi'lek reported. "Docking Bay 6738. Two men and a woman accompany him. They are clearing contamination and control now." "You're certain it's him?" "Certain, but we'll run an identity scan just in case." The man peeled off elbow-length gloves, slipped out of the environment suit, and settled himself at a display console. "Keep the cam and scanner feeds open so I can see and hear for myself." "Will you be informing Borga?" The man considered it. "We'll see." The Twi'lek took the same route back to the compartment. By the time he arrived and was peering over the shoulder of the Rhodian closest to the screen, Card and his companions were literally at the door. "Positive identification on Card," the Rhodian said after studying the scanner readouts. "No information on the other men, but neither one is armed with blasters. The scanner matches the woman to Shada Dukal, a known associate of Card's." The Rhodian looked at the Twi'lek. "Lethal, even without weapons. The second Rodian lifted a blaster from his hip holster, checked the charge, and primed the weapon. Unnecessary, the Twi'lek told him. They'd be fools to try anything. The Rodian's round black eyes fixed on him. You pay me to be prepared. The Twi'lek nodded, grinning slightly to show filed teeth. I stand corrected. Look, the Rodian's partner interrupted. He's onto us. The Twi'lek glanced at the display screen in time to see Card waving at the optical scanner concealed in the bulkhead above the hatchway. I still don't understand why Card would be interested in dealing with us, the armed Rodian remarked. He traffics in information, not spice. The Twi'lek caressed his bulged forehead and moved to the hatchway. This isn't about spice, but we're expected to hear him out, so that's what we're going to do. He aimed a remote at the hatchway sensor, and the hatch pocketed itself into the bulkhead. Card and the others entered, his two male companions hanging back, and Shada Dukal sidestepping into a corner, where she could keep a watchful eye on the proceedings. Welcome, Talon Card, the Twi'lek said in Basic. I'm Raoul Warren. Card nodded. A pleasure. He didn't bother to introduce anyone else. Your chair, Raoul Warren barked at one of the Rodians, who immediately stood and stepped aside. He waited for Card to make himself comfortable. I'm told that you're interested in procuring product. 8 blocks. Raoul Warren's normally narrow eyes widened. A substantial quantity. However, since your past and recent activities are not unknown to me, would you mind explaining why you're suddenly interested in product? Card laughed innocently. If you're concerned about entrapment or anything of that nature... Nothing of the sort, Raoul Warren was quick to assure. After all, we are only subordinate players in the grand game. But I was given to understand that you had abandoned illegality for activity of a more diplomatic nature. Card crossed his legs, resting his ankle on his knee. The Yuuzhan Vong invasion has rendered obsolete my position as liaison between Bastion and Coruscant. Meaning he's unemployed, the shorter of the two men behind him said. Yes, Raoul Warren said, stroking his left leku pensively. The Yuuzhan Vong have heaped changes on us as well. Not the way I hear it, the same man remarked. Just what have you heard? Raoul Warren asked. The man's upper lip curled. That spice remains a safe bet. Card cleared his throat. What he means is that product has always been a prized commodity, and now, what with more mouths to feed? Hard times bring about a need for escape, Card's comrade cut him off. We're all for letting everyone bury their heads in the sand. Raoul Warren cut his pink eyes to Card. So you're interested in going into business? Assuming that shipment can be arranged? Raoul Warren smiled tightly. That would, of course, add to the price. Where did you have in mind? To begin with, Tenna. An awkward silence fell over the compartment while Raoul Warren and the Rodians traded covert glances. Tenna is extremely problematic at the moment, Raoul Warren said at last. I could arrange shipment to Rhodia, perhaps even Kalarba, but you'd have to take it from there. What about Kothlis or Bathawi? Card said. Raoul Warren shook his head. Not at present. Card loosed an annoyed exhale. If you can ship to Rhodia, can I at least get you to bring it up the run to Corellia? That's the actual destination. Raoul Warren tilted his head to one side. Again, I'm afraid we have a problem. What's the problem? Card's scar-faced accomplice asked harshly. We were told you could move spice with impunity under the new terms. Raoul Warren's tiny eyes darted. New terms? He was about to say more when the hatch opened to reveal the stout laboratory technician filling the portal. Card's accomplices reacted swiftly, but Card was just as quick to interpose himself between them and the grinning intruder. Krev Bambasa, he said in genuine surprise. You're a long way from home. As are you, Talon. Bambasa looked at Shada, and the always enchanting Shada Dukal. As for my being far from home, even life in the Pembroke system can grow boring. With an explicit nod, Bambasa dismissed Raoul Warren and the Rhodians, then lowered himself into a chair at the console and deactivated the room's security systems. If I recall correctly, he said to Card, the last time we crossed paths was in the Thrusterburn Tapcaf in Urwithot. In search of George Cardas, you and Shada required safe passage through the Cathal sector, which I provided to offset an earlier debt I owed to your former partner, Mara Jade. I mention all this by way of stating at the onset that if you're expecting favors, such as product delivery into the star systems you mentioned, be forewarned that I figure we're already even. He glanced at Kip Duran and Ganner Rysode, then smiled at Card. So why have you come, Talon? And don't tell me you're serious about going into the spice trade. Card looked him in the eye. I appreciate your frankness, Krev. The fact is the Yuuzhan Vong have changed the way everyone is doing business. Many of the players remain the same, but the field has been rearranged. In the Rim, former Imperials are fighting alongside New Republic forces. Adversaries of long standing are putting aside their differences for a common cause. Even the Huts have been forced to relinquish part of their space as a means of avoiding all-out war. Again, Bambasa glanced at the Jedi. Yes, the only good thing to come of the war is that it gave Kip Duran something else to do besides prey on smugglers. He paused briefly to glance knowingly at Card's confederates, then sighed. I thought for certain that would draw a reaction, but I can see that this clearly isn't a moment for levity. Laugh all you want, Kip told him. I can laugh all I want, Bambasa repeated in monotone, then touched his head theatrically. Did someone here make me say that? Ganner placed a calming hand on Kip's arm. Bambasa watched the two Jedi, then nodded at Card. You're right, Talon. The lines have certainly been redrawn. Just where that leaves people like you and me has yet to be determined. Speak for yourself, Krev. I know where I stand. Bambasa took a breath. I'm a practical man, Talon. I wish only to survive, and under the best possible circumstances I can arrange for myself. You say your stance is decided. Then suppose you tell me what's on your mind. Card's eyes narrowed. You won't ship to Tenna, Bathawi, or Corellia. Bambasa linked his hands and rested them atop his prominent belly. That much is true. And I commend you on your acuity in picking just those systems where we have temporarily suspended operations. The Yuuzhan Vong are in Hutt space, Card continued. They've already hit Gindyne, so one might reasonably assume that you're merely trying to avoid areas of potential conflict. Once more I commend you. Why risk shipments by sending them into contested space? Transgression might even prove dangerous to the bearers of those shipments. Then either you're merely being careful, or you're heeding orders that came down from the Hutts. Bambasa glanced at the ceiling. Let's just say that the Hutts, at this juncture, are in a better position to ascertain which areas are dangerous. Card nodded. I thought so. And how will you justify this conversation to Borga? Bambasa's shoulders heaved in a shrug. I will relate just what happened here. Talon Card wanted product delivered into denied areas. So we failed to come to terms. Irony wrinkled his jowled face. Borga has been expecting just such an encounter, in any case. Playing both sides, is she? Looking out for number one. Card could not restrain a smile. I won't forget this, Krev. Bambasa steepled his thick fingers and brought them to his double chin. Then you might mention me to your friends as affirmation of just whose side I'm on. Count on it, Card said. Someday we might all be called to work together. Smugglers, information brokers, pirates, and mercenaries. And this strikes me as a good start. The Yamask vessel Kresh hung in stationary orbit above the planet Ando. In the ship's grotto-like docking bay, Commander Kine Kahl and the priest Mursh welcomed Rhonda Basadi Diori aboard. First to exit the loathsome, slipper-shaped Ubrikian space yacht that had arrived from Ando were the young Hutts Twi'lek and Rhodian retainers, followed by the tusked humanoid Aqualish, who comprised his limited detail of bodyguards. Then, propelled by his muscular tail, the Hutt himself emerged, smiling broadly, and instantly at home in the cavernous, dimly lighted space. "I see that you are as fond of gloom as we Hutts are," Rhonda told Kine Kahl after he had been announced and introductions had been made. The commander smiled pleasantly. "We favor obscurity when it suits our purpose." Rhonda attributed the ambiguity of Kine Kahl's remark to the inexperience of the Yuuzhan Vong translator. "You must come to Nal Hutta, Commander, and visit my parents' palace. I'm certain you would find it to your liking." Kine Kahl's politic smile held. "We've heard much about it, young Hutt. Commander Malik Kahr was very impressed." "As Borga was with Commander Malik Kahr," Rhonda replied with courtly poise. "I am eager to learn as much as I can of your operations, so that we Hutts may expedite your needs." His protruding black eyes disappeared briefly behind the membranes that kept them moist. "With so many worlds falling to your superior might, the task of ferrying captives about must be growing tiresome." "The task distracts us from our principal objective," Kine Kahl allowed, "which is precisely why we are as eager to instruct as you are to learn." "Then the sooner we begin, the better," Rhonda said. "But perhaps you could first show me to my quarters, so that I might refresh from the journey." "We have prepared a place for you, Rhonda Basadi Diori," the priest answered. "On the way, we thought we might introduce you to the ship's most prestigious passenger." Rhonda pressed his hands together in a gesture of respect. "I would be honored." Kine Kahl voiced a brusque command to his guards, who snapped their fists to their opposite shoulders and arranged themselves in an escort formation, some advancing through an iris portal in the hull's biotic bulkhead, while others fell in behind Rhonda and his retinue. They moved deeper into the ship, passing from one module to the next, on occasion lifted by decks that bulged under them like a tongue being raised to the roof of a mouth. Illumination varied, but the bioluminescence of the bulkheads rarely provided more than a faint glow. What did increase was a certain tang in the air, which, while not unpleasant, tended to irritate the nasal passages and promote the flow of mucus and tears. Lubricious by design, Rhonda found the conditions most agreeable. Kine Kahl brought the procession to a halt in the rank belly of the ship and directed Rhonda's attention to an aperture in the membranous bulkhead that provided a vantage into an adjacent hold. Below, centered in a circular tank of syrupy liquid, floated a tentacled life form that could only have been created by the Yuuzhan Vong. Sharing the tank with the creature, and plainly attending to it, stood several dozen captives, anywhere from knee to shoulder deep in the liquid. Tended to in kind, a few of the captives were being stroked by the tentacles. In one case, a human male was entirely entwined by two of the slender appendages. Rhonda found himself thinking about certain members of the Desiligic clan who were fond of chaining dancers or servants to themselves. Again his eyes were drawn to the fully embraced human. In the midst of regarding the several beings in close proximity to the human, Rhonda turned excitedly to his Twi'lek majordomo. "Are those Rin?" he asked, indicating them with one of his stubby arms. The Twi'lek regarded them and nodded. "I believe they are Rin, Excellency." Kine Kahl followed the exchange and asked for a translation. "Something has caught your eye, young Hutt?"
"Indeed, Commander," Rhonda said.
"You have succeeded in capturing a somewhat rare specimen."
To which do you refer? Do you see the human your creature takes such an interest in?
Kind Khal gazed down at the Yamask and its captive attendants.
Cain, that one is called. The sharp-nosed bipeds next to and opposite him, Rhonda elaborated. And there, at the adjacent tentacle, they are Rin, an entertaining species, highly prized by the huts, though often disparaged by others. Prized for what? They are celebrated for their skill at dancing and singing, but their real talent is prognostication.
Kind Khal waited for the translation, then turned to Mursh.
Did you know of this? I did not, Commander, the priest said.
Kind Khal cut his eyes to Rhonda.
They divine, you say? Rather astutely.
By what technique?
Manifold means. I have heard that they can read the future in the creases of the hands, the bumps on the head, the color of the eyes. They sometimes employ a deck of playing cards that are said to have been fashioned by them.
You have heard, Kind Khal said.
Then you have had no direct experience with them.
Sadly, I have not. Rhonda smiled.
But perhaps you would be willing to relieve them temporarily of their peculiar duties and judge for yourself. Your creation appears to take little interest in them in any case.
I confess to being curious about them, Mursh said in reply to Kind Khal's glance. The commander nodded and turned to a subaltern of the guards.
Have the six Rin brought to the young hut's compartment.